time. Coffee, 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 coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. And it's about time for the coffee break hour with me, Aliyah, and with Yusuf. And welcome, welcome, welcome. I love being able just to greet everybody from this side every single week and say welcome to those who are new. Welcome to those who are, I'm not going to say old because I'm going to say comfortable with us all being together. That's so awesome to be sharing Yahweh's truth with you this evening. So welcome. We pray that you have had a great week. And, you know, even if it's morning by you, good morning, good afternoon, wherever, whatever it may be. We just want to wish you a warm welcome into this place with us and into Yeshua's presence where we can talk about something that we've really, really wanted to speak to you about, right, Joseph, for a very, very long time. And also with Shavuot and the weeks that we weren't with you guys all on the coffee break, we've just know that Abba Father has just burdened our hearts to say, yes, now is the time. Say it, do it, proclaim it, speak it. So today we are really going to be giving a bit of a straight talk.
That's right.
And that's not a rebuke. That's not like a straight talk at you at all. This is for all of us. This is absolutely for myself, for Yusuf, for everybody, for the world, because it's a straight talk on social media. And social media, as it is, but also as it has an impact on the body of Messiah, and also as it has an impact on leadership. And I'm putting that in inverted commas. I'm really
She literally is. She's got her fingers up and she's putting
putting that leadership in inverted commas, because, yeah, we'll get into that as we do the straight talk. What is going on social media? How is it affecting us? What is it doing? We know a lot of these things, but we have to say that, you know, we are not immune as believers to what is going on in the world. We're not immune to the fact that the petrol price or the gas price keeps on increasing. We're not immune if taxes keep increasing. We're not immune if nuclear war breaks out. We're not immune to what is happening with social media. So the world around us really does affect us. And this is for all of us. You may know some of the research. You may know some of the stats. But let's break it down. That's what we're going to do tonight. To how is this affecting us as the body? How is it affecting our spiritual maturity, Yusuf? How is it affecting our leadership in the body? And wow, what is it doing to us? How is it really affecting us relationally and all of those so many things? So would you like to open up in prayer for us?
Let's do that. And shalom to everybody. It's good to be with you again this week. And like Aliyah said, I'm looking forward to this coffee break. Mm. If you know anything about our straight talks, then you'll know that it's not something that's new. It's something that we've done a couple of times. And I kind of really enjoy it. And you know, Aliyah, I was thinking about what you said, straight talk on social media. And on the notes that I wrote the following: are you living an illusion? Mm. Are we living an illusion? Are we living something that's not really truth? Is it something that's projected? Is it something that's kind of like making ourselves into something that we actually aren't? And we need to answer that question this evening. Are we actually living an illusion? So let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, Father, for this great and wonderful time that we always have, Father, where we can come together in your presence, Father, share around your word and really discuss topics, Father, that we can normally not do, maybe in your teaching or on the website per se, Father, in the normal way. But in this manner, Father, we are able to sit in an informal way and just discuss things, Father, and allow your spirit to move among us and to speak to us, Father. So we want to pray tonight, Father, that as we gather together, Father, as people come from all over, Father, I pray in the name of Yeshua, Father, that each one of us that is here this evening, Father, that we will examine our own hearts, that we will test to see, are we truly in the faith? And that we will allow, Father, your word and your spirit to really minister to our hearts and to show us, Father, where are we at in all of this? Where are we at on the ladder of social media, Father? And what are you saying to us individually, Father? And that's my prayer as we get into this coffee break. So I pray, Yahweh, your blessing upon Aliyah and your blessing upon my own life. And Father, may this time, Father, be really special in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, social media is something that I don't know. It's something that's just become part of everyday life. And when we mean social media, there's so many social media platforms that we probably don't even know about. But, you know, obviously the most common ones are obviously Facebook, which is huge, and which is obviously then YouTube as well, and Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. Those are the ones that everybody's using. Of course, there is a lot more like LinkedIn and all these different platforms that become – you know, part of everyday life. But
even WhatsApp.
Sorry. You know, WhatsApp's crazy, but even WhatsApp, it's all of these things become a reality and have become a norm within our lives. And there are so many things that are happening with social media and its effect on the body of Messiah. And I think it is so, so relevant that we have to break it down and start to address it and start to talk about it.
I think, you know, Lee, I think what we need to say this evening is that we are not only going to be looking at the bad, but we also want to look at the good.
Yes,
you know, in everything, I think when it comes to technology, we have to understand that there is good and there is bad. And it's not necessarily that the technology is bad, but that we as users, we have this tendency because of our sinful nature to abuse technology. And we have the truth of the matter is, Aaliyah, that many people today, we are in search for the next high, or we in search for the next, how do I say, hit the boredom down and raise up, you know, the good feelings. And I think that's how society is. So we need to look at it and say to ourselves, okay, you know what, there's good things to social media, but there's also bad. And it depends on who we are as people. It depends on where we are at as individuals in Messiah Yeshua. And if we are weak in the faith, or we are fleshly in our faith, then I think that sometimes social media can become a serious crutch in the wrong direction. It can become something that can actually defile us and cause us not to be socially adequate in the presence of others. It causes us to be socially inadequate because we live our lives based on how we see ourselves through these social media platforms. And unfortunately, those social media platforms project an image to us of ourselves sometimes that's false. Because the truth of the matter is that we live then for likes, we live for affirmation, we live then for people telling us, hey, you know what, that was a great photo that you took. And the truth of the matter is, you know, we were talking today. I was saying to Aaliyah today while I was doing, you know, some research on this topic, seeing the craziest images on social media of what people actually do when it comes to their profile photos, and how people use Photoshop, and how they prop themselves up with makeup and all kinds of different things to make themselves look a certain way.
And makeup refers to men and women, by the way.
That's right, men and women. It's almost like we in the movies, where it's kind of like what you see is not actually what you get. And you know, so many times, you know, you see these before and after pictures that celebrities nowadays post of how they look with the makeup and how they look without it. And it's a scary reality. But we're living in a time where it's about basically our worth. We are looking for affirmation and for our worth. We're looking to be found worthy or to be found good enough for others. And it's no longer a matter of being content, as Paul says. He says, you know what? I'm content in every situation, whether I have or whether I don't have, whether I'm going on a missions trip or whether I'm not. I am content in who I am because that's who Messiah has created me. But I think today society is not content anymore with who they are. It's kind of like, and the truth of the matter, let's be honest. I'm going to be very dead honest this evening. I don't have Instagram. I don't have WhatsApp. I have YouTube.
You don't have Facebook.
I don't have Facebook either, but I'll be honest with you, YouTube, let's just speak about YouTube because that's a platform that we use for the ministry. The truth of the matter is you see on YouTube how people use YouTube and how you see how people compete with one another. It becomes a competitive platform because we see how other people are putting out videos, and all of a sudden we see, hey, you know what, that guy did a video on a topic that was pretty cool, and you know what, he got 175,000 people viewing his thing, or maybe he got 2 million people with 1,000-something likes, and we look at that and we think to ourselves, hey, you know what, so that's what is good, that is what is trending. So because he got so many likes, I need to make my videos the same, or I need to compare myself. So we start to compare ourselves to others, basically to other channels, other things that are going on. And if we have been truly called, and I'm going to use this in a ministry context, if we have been truly called by Yahweh to share his gospel, we shouldn't care about how many likes we're getting for a thing. We shouldn't care about whether our faces are on the front or not. What we should care about is the message going out. And the truth of the matter is, Aaliyah, the word of Yahweh tells us very, very clearly. It says, you shall be hated for my name's sake. So when we are getting likes and thumbs ups and hey, you know what, this is a good thing, and we're getting all this affirmation, we need to be asking ourselves, is the message that we are proclaiming really the truth? Are we really proclaiming the truth, or are we beginning to proclaim what people want?
You know, that's called one up, you know, one upping everyone, because you're trying to be one up. And the thing about that is also, that's what's happened with social media platforms, like you said, especially YouTube, is that we have many self-proclaimed teachers, preachers, evangelists, apostles.
I wasn't even going to touch on that, but it's the truth.
No, it needs to be said.
Yes.
I am in I don't want to say worried, because I'm not worried, but I'm in a sad state with regards to the body, because when I signed my book publishing contract back in 2016, the book publisher wants to tag you on certain places and wants to share this and wants to share that. And let's be honest, one of the good benefits that I've personally experienced, and I know many people have with social media, is it makes your world a little bit smaller, in the sense that you connect with people.
That's right.
And I've connected with some amazing people, and we've been able to collaborate on kingdom work and have been seeing benefits and amazing things happen. And even going to the US the first time, it happened through someone finding us via social media, via YouTube. So it, these things matter. Social media can really draw us closer together. But there's a lot of people who are starting their own ministries online. They actually, and I'm going to be dead honest with you, this is not just about ministry. It's also about people that make a brand out of themselves. That's right. You and I were talking about this just on Erev Shabbat, that there are people that I see online and stuff like that, that totally, they get like everything sponsored, all their clothes, because they do clothes and fashion and beauty and stuff. And they get all the stuff sponsored to them, and then they make these channels and show you all these great products, and you're like, wow, that's cool. But they actually make a brand out of themselves. Their life revolves 24/7 around someone else, usually their husband or their wife, taking photos of them. And then most of the time, they themselves actually edit those photos because they want it to look a certain way. And then they're pumping it out all the time. And they become self-proclaimed business people. But they're actually, and this is true for people that start online ministries just on YouTube, but give nothing to the world, don't do evangelism in real life, don't do mission work in real life, don't pray in real life, don't do anything that the holy word of Yahweh says we must do. They actually contribute nothing to society. These people as well, there's a lot of people on social media that have branded themselves. All they do is travel and show you beauty products. They contribute nothing to society because they don't do anything else but receive sponsorships, but receive finances, and then push out pictures of themselves. This is what you could look like if you wear this. This is what you could look like if you use this product. This is what you look like if you could have Botox like I have. And that is what's happening. And all that they're doing is milking the cow, but not giving anything. Sorry. And I'm concerned about the body, in the sense that we have a lot of people, Yusuf, that are on social media, different platforms, across different platforms, people that put out very short 1.5 minute to 2 minute vlogs, videos that go, I just want to share God's word with you today. He just says that you're beautiful, you're chosen. Isaiah something says this, and go with that today. And this is what's happening. We've got a watered down gospel. We've got a feel good, pick me up thing of going, oh, I'm chosen, I'm loved, because that's a lot of what this is about. It attracts followers. That kind of rhetoric attracts followers. And these people aren't actually doing anything in normal society. Mm-hmm. They're not actually doing the Great Commission. They're not living a holy life. They're not even in deep prayer. They're not praying for anybody else. They're not even speaking in their local church, or if you want to say that, or their congregation. They're not actually involved in anything. And now they attract people, and people start looking at them as their leader, as their pastor, as their preacher, teacher. And that is a huge problem for me, Yusuf. That is a problem, because anybody these days can start anything. Technology is so easy. We all have a computer, we have a webcam, we speak on a microphone, and that's it. We started our channel. But is that person really called by Yahweh? And then also they get people to invest loads of money into their, and I'm going to say this, startup ministry. And then it's just like it becomes this thing and no one sees the fruit, but everyone's looking at this person as a leader, and they may not even be qualified or called into the position that they have.
Amen. You know, Leah, I was reminded of a scripture. It's found in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 12, and it says, though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Now, this is, in that time, all that they had was paper and ink. They didn't have social media.
So pretty much he's saying, I'd rather not use Instagram to do this.
I'd rather not use Facebook to do this. I'd rather not use Google Plus. I'd rather not do what is normally done. But and then he says, instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy might be complete. And you know, I want to be honest, and it's good to be honest. We have to watch our boundaries when we're too honest, but we have to be honest. And the truth of the matter is, for a while, I've been saying to Aaliyah that my heart's desire, I love to make videos. I love to edit them. I love to do the teachings. I love to build a website and things like that. But I believe that we go through seasons, and that in our life, we have seasons, and that's a good thing. The Father wants us, and we spoke about it last week, to go through seasons. And I've been feeling that in my heart's desire is still to do those teachings because it's good. But my heart's desire is to do exactly here what it says in 2 John, to be able to be face to face with people so that our joy might be complete. Because the truth of the matter is, you cannot get the same anointing or the same presence of Yahweh that you can get face to face than you do you can't get the same presence of Yahweh when you're doing a video that you can get with a person face to face.
So what you're actually trying to say is that you would like to one day not be doing YouTube. You know what? We both know, you and I both know, that we said that we would never do YouTube.
That's right.
We would never do YouTube. The ministry is not on social media at all, as in nada. So we said we'll never do YouTube. And it was, I think, also 2016, it must have been 2016, I think, when the Father said to us, I want you to do YouTube videos. And we were like, no. And then we were like, okay. And then we started doing the YouTube videos. And it is a blessing. It is a blessing to do YouTube videos. But you and I both know and understand that it's just a branch of Treasured Inheritance Ministry. It's just a tool. Just as a workman would have a hammer and a wrench and a nail and a screwdriver, YouTube is just one of those things, maybe just the nail. Mm. But the other things that we do is really where our hearts are. Yes, we do love YouTube, and we do in a sense that we like doing the teachings and the videos, and we've been able to be a blessing to many people, even though we can't see them.
That's right.
But we know that our hearts are with the physical work that we do. Yeah. So I think that's what you're trying to say.
That's why, like I said earlier, when we started with the balance, we have to have a balance between the good sides of things and the bad side of things. And I think the balance comes in, if you look at this now, the truth of the matter is that we were not wanting necessarily to go in that direction. But when we did, there was fruit and there was a blessing to it. But at the same time, we had to make a balance. We had to make some choices. Do we do videos like everyone else does the videos? Do we allow comments and postings on those videos or not? And we decided that, hey, you know what, it's not about our faces on the video. Mm-hmm. It's also not about the comments there. And I want to share something about comments that is a problem for me. The truth of the matter is that for example, on Facebook or on you go across, you know, the internet and you look at different people's ministries or different people's YouTube channels, and you begin to see the comments that are posted underneath. And a lot of times these people allow the comments because, you see, when you allow comments on YouTube or you allow comments on certain social media platforms, what it does is it uses that algorithm and then it picks up on those comments. That's why you always see on normal secular YouTube channels, people will say, please like and comment. They'll specifically say like and comment, because the more comments you got and more interaction you got, the more that video is then displayed on YouTube's algorithm, where people will find that video easier. But a lot of times on these godly videos, these comments that are left at the bottom are never moderated. They are not moderated at all. And people are starting to get into arguments and fights and boasting and trying to prove their points and stuff. And I understand that, yes, it's a good way for us to interact with others. But when we begin to boast, or when we begin to break others down, or when our comments are actually causing others in the body to stumble, then should we even be having comments there? Because let's be honest, YouTube is on the World Wide Web. It's a massive, massive place. And we're going to look at the stats a little bit as well, of the amount of people that actually spend time on YouTube. YouTube is far surpassing most television channels and things like that today, because people have access to YouTube, and they have access to every single kind of thing. There's all kinds of videos that you find.
There's everything on there.
You know, from
building a bomb, which is super dodgy. How can they even allow that on there? To planting a home garden, or redecorating your house, or even
doing your makeup, making yourself look different. You know, there's everything on there.
Or even Elijah teachings, or I Am videos, or Final Remnant.
No, Proverbs 31. You'll find it there too.
Those are the good ones. Oh, don't Google Proverbs 31. But it is true what you're saying, Yusuf. It's a big, big platform.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is that we as believers, we need to ask ourselves, is what we're doing bringing benefit to the body? So the truth of the matter is the YouTube channel has been benefiting the body, but we never want the YouTube channel to become an obsession. And I think that's the difference. Sometimes people, and we're going to share this as we go on in the evening, you know, the amount of time that we spend on social media, we need to ask ourselves, how much time are we spending on social media compared to the time that we spend in the presence of Yahweh? And the reason why I'm saying that is because in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. And just think of this for a second, right? How many people, we had a lady living here in the complex where we live. And about a year ago, there was a massive storm. 2 days ago, we had a massive storm. Praise Yahweh. We've been getting rain. And it was pouring down in this place. Do you remember that? It was pouring so hectic that there was water going from the top of the drive path, basically where you drive in with your car, into garages. And it was pushing water into people's garages where their cars were parked. And this lady, we know for a fact that she's a blogger, right? She blogs, and she's one of those beauty,
blogs like crazy, yeah,
beauty bloggers, right? And we know that every time we used to see this young girl, she used to come out of a car, be on the cell phone, never really looks around her much. Mm-mm. And one day the landlord went to this lady's house and said to her, hey, you know what? Is everything okay and stuff? And you know, there's been a lot of water going on.
Do you know about the storm? You know, some of the motor houses were underwater, and the cars were, you know, almost like messed up because the water had seeped in, obviously, underneath the doors and had really heightened in. And, you know, one of their garage, her garage in specifically, is in a bit of like a slope, you know, so the water runs down into there. And yeah, they knocked on a door, hey, and said, did you know about what happened? And what did she say? What? There was a storm? And so sometimes we become so connected to our phone, to looking down, to social media, to what we're posting and doing, that an actual storm can break out and we could probably lose our car. And we probably wouldn't even notice it. But that's a very scary reality.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's that far-fetched for normal people.
No, it's not that far-fetched. I think as believers, we have this, because we have Yahweh's Ruach, we have a moral compass that is in us already, and that causes us to feel guilty when we spend too much time either in front of the TV, or we spend too much time in front of our cell phone or our computer, whether it's even, and I'll be honest with you, whether it's even on our website where you're spending your time. The truth of the matter is we have to be balanced. We have to be able to be doing the things of Yahweh. But the most important thing that we need to understand is all the teachings that you read, all the teachings that you listen to cannot compare to the amount of time that you spend in the presence of Yahweh. So when we are constantly in our phones and looking at our phones, or constantly looking at the computer, we need to ask ourselves, are we making the best use of our time? Or because the days are evil? And the truth of the matter is, I Aaliyah was doing, like I said, some of the research on all the stats and stuff. And there's a guy, he's an ex-employer of Facebook. He's now run away. And he said in his interview that he does not allow his children to have a Facebook account. And he said that in his understanding and in his interview, he plainly said that Facebook has been created by these people, Mark Zuckerberg, or whoever you want to say created it. Mark Zuckerberg, for all we know, could just be the face. Mm. But in his interview, he said that he will not allow his children to use Facebook at all. And he no longer goes on Facebook because it's all about a dopamine experience. In other words, it's all about like how many likes you get. And that what it does is it psychologically is built in such a way that it causes people to keep going back and getting that fix, just like you would get a fix from a e-tablet, or you would get a fix from some kind of thing. What happens is you go back to your social media account continually because you are looking for that next like or the next affirmation. And like we said, your social media account should not define who you are, and it should not define your worth. And unfortunately today, And I want to, when we, hopefully maybe we should go to break, but when we come back, we need to talk about the truth of the stats and have a look and see the ages. It's not only young people that are addicted to social media. It's everybody. Everybody nowadays that has a cell phone is addicted to it. Let's be honest. When we go out places and you go to a restaurant and you just sit down and you're going to order something to eat, 90% of the time you see husbands and wives sitting, not even talking to each other anymore. He's on his cell phone, she's on her cell phone. Or when the child, we saw this when we travel, we see it all the time, when we fly places. When the child is disobedient, or when the child's tired, the father pulls out the iPad. Yeah. And that little girl, I remember this when we were standing in the queue, she was maybe about 6 or 7 years old, maybe even less. And she knew immediately, she said, "Daddy, I'm going to watch YouTube." Boom. And she clicked on the YouTube app and she knew exactly where to go. And I thought to myself, like, this is how the world's become. When we can't handle our children or we can't handle things, we turn to social media to look for that affirmation or to silence our children. And single people, where do they go? They go to social media. Look at the truth of the matter is, this is not only speaking, like we said, about Facebook, Snapchat. It's even talking about news apps. We used to be so, how do I say, I don't know what the word is, but we used to be so limited to our knowledge. Today, everybody's a genius. Today, everybody is a Google master, because we used to live a simple life where it was like, okay, you came home at a specific time, maybe 7 p.m., and then you watched the weather and you listen to the news, and that was it for the day. That was your fix for the day, and that was it. Or you waited by the phone for your friends to phone you after school, and you had to make a time. You had to say, hey, you know what, 3:30 p.m. Yes, things have moved on. Technology has moved on. But we have become so, how do I say, so fixated that we wake up in the morning, the first thing we need to see is the weather. The next thing we need to see is the news. We got to look at all these things and we got to check it out. And it becomes the way that we live. We travel on the subway and we can't even interact with people anymore. As believers, the truth of the matter is, even as believers, the fact of the matter is, we are failing in the Great Commission, because when we sit on a train, we rather sit on our cell phone or our iPad than actually interact with somebody and say, hey, nice day, how's the weather going? You know, and share the truth of things with people. And even if we do, I found nowadays too, believers who say they're believers and they try, our conversation has become like Twitter. Instead of it being paragraphs and long discussions, it's like, thumbs up, like, yeah, and we say little phrases. How are you? No, I'm fine. That's it. There's no more interaction. And we need to really evaluate our dosage of what we're doing.
I just think of what you just said. Sometimes it just resonates with me like way too much. I was thinking about this morning how life has become really complicated. And I sometimes just want life to be really simple. And that's what Ecclesiastes says. It says that life is simple, but mankind has complicated it. And I think in every generation, we have our own struggles. In every generation, we have our own issues. You know, your parents' generation was the war babies, you know. So their struggle was war. And it was the men being away and the women working in the factories and doing things that they were not used to. And then the men coming back and then, you know, assimilating back into society, and how did they do that, and how did they handle the trauma, and how did the women go back to their homes, and how did the workplace and all these men that were missed. So every, in their generation, I think of that was their struggle and their trauma, and what happened. And our struggle these days is really you know, social isolation, depression, loneliness, social media. And like you said, you know, the complicated life, we're so connected and we shouldn't be. We're not robots. We should not be connected all the time. We shouldn't have everything at us all the time. But then again, yes, if it's exactly like you said, and this is one of the things that I believe strongly in my household, that it's up to you as the user. How much time do you sit? I mean, people say to us, hey, did you see that thing on TV? We're like, we don't have a TV. What are you talking about? We didn't see that thing on TV. It's like, oh, watch this documentary. It's coming on a Sunday night at 8 o'clock on this channel, whatever. I'm like, I don't have a TV. I don't watch that stuff. And then people are like, what? You don't have a TV? I'm like, look, I can watch stuff on, you know, I have a computer and stuff. I can watch a DVD, or I can when I choose to, but I'm not going to have that because then I'm going to sit there. And then, you know, time just happens to move on when we also live such a complicated life. I feel that we're also looking for ways to relax and unwind. And the best way that we as human beings relax and unwind in a good way, as in not what people do, drinking and that kind of stuff, but is to sit and numb out in front of the TV. And there's nothing wrong with doing that every now and then.
Or in front of your cell phone.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with doing that every now and then. But it only is a problem if it's a pattern. Mm. And if it's what we turn to when, like you also used the example just now of where do we turn to when we're feeling bad? And one of the places that we turn to when we're not having a good day, or when we're feeling depressed or lonely or it's been hard, is we go onto social media. And one of the reasons we go onto social media is actually very amiable, in that we want to actually connect, and we also sometimes want to feel part of something. And that is why a lot of people use social media, because they want to feel connected to people and they want to be part of something. But research is showing us psychologically that the more time you spend on social media, Facebook and all those things, in order to connect, the more isolated you begin to feel, and the more lonely you begin to feel, and the more depressed you begin to feel. And I want to talk about that when we come back. So let us go to a song, and we love the song. It's called Come to the Altar. And I think that this song is really about what it's about. Yes, if our altar, you know, it should be Yeshua. It's where we serve him, and it's what we do. And I want us all this evening to come to the altar with this question of, where am I spending my time? What am I doing with my time? And is it that am I feeling a little bit convicted about how much time I'm doing on WhatsApp or with my friends? And just before we go, we also know people that have shared with us and told us that they spend a lot of time on prayer groups on WhatsApp. That's and they, right. They're in prayer groups, and the prayer groups and the Bible study groups are going the whole day, that they actually don't get time to spend with Yeshua. That is also wrong, because whatever is taking our time in that, even in that way, is wrong. So when we come back, we will keep the conversation going, and we pray that you will enjoy the song, Come to the Altar.
Trade them for joy. sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen.
Welcome back to the Coffee Break Hour, and today we're talking about a straight talk on social media. And you know that line at the end of the song is just so important, and it just really spoke to me about tell the world about the treasure that you found. And there's nothing like a physical world and a physical touch and a physical reality that we need to be involved with, not just online, because those friends that you have on Facebook, those are not really friends. Because even if you land up in hospital, they're probably not going to come and visit you. If someone is sick or unhealthy, they're not probably going to be praying for you. And a lot of people have started to use social media platforms as their place of gathering, not so, Yusuf, as the place where they find everything. But I know that you want to share some stats with us, so please do, because stats speak louder than words sometimes, and numbers really don't lie.
That's true. So I was looking at a site where they were explaining, it's called Pew Research Center, and it says the following. It says, Facebook and YouTube dominate this landscape, and unfortunately they've only given United States stats. You know, we're not going to get South Africa and stuff. So it says a notable majority of U.S. adults use each of these sites. So they use Facebook and YouTube. Those are the two that they actually dominate, and we can actually see that. And at the same time, it says younger Americans, especially those aged between 18 and 24, they stand out for embracing a variety of platforms and using them very frequently. Some of these users use these platforms for an average of 78% of a day. 78% of a day. Of 18 to 24-year-olds, they say they use Snapchat, and a sizable majority of these users, 71%, use the platform multiple times a day, as I said. All right, I'm going to share with you quickly these stats too. Then it says, similarly, 71% of Americans in this age group now use Instagram, and close to half, 45%, are Twitter users. Now, maybe you're saying, okay, well, what's all these stats got to do with me? You know, I'm not really on social media. I'm trying to walk the narrow path that's set before me. That's all good and well. But why we want to say this to people is that when you look at these stats, and you're going to see it now, age group, and not only even 18 to 24, it even goes lower than that, right? It goes way lower. I would say that people, even in our country, young people from the age of 10 already have cell phones, and they're using their cell phones, and they're on all these platforms already. So why this is important to us as believers is because us as this generation, whether you are older or whether you're in the middle, we have to make a stand as believers with regards to the next generation that's going to come. There's going to come a generation, brothers and sisters, that are not even going to know anything about interaction. They're not even going to want to open a book. They're not even going to want to open the Bible. And they're going to want everything on digital format. Everything's going to be used like that. We're seeing it already in the schools. We're seeing how things are going. And we need to understand that, yes, we need to change the way that we share the gospel, but at the same time, we cannot change our core values. We cannot change the core values of the word. It's not a matter of, okay, let's evolve so that we become relevant. Relevancy in the kingdom of Yahweh causes us to stumble and it causes us to fall. And we see that within the churches and within, you know, modern churches today, because they have thought to themselves, oh, well, I'm not going to be relevant anymore. They've watered down the gospel and they've got their churches into places where it is no different than a club. And that's the honest truth. So a majority of Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram users visit these platforms on a daily basis. And here's the stats, right? So it says that Facebook is used on an average of 74%. That's a net daily average, right? And it says several times a day, 51% of users use Facebook several times a day.
Several
times a day. They're not even telling you 10 or 20. They're saying several times a day. 51% of people use Facebook 51% of the daytime. All right. Or 51% of them use it several times a day. Pardon me. All right. And then it says about once a day, 23%, and less often, 26%. Right. Snapchat is several times a day, 49%, about once a day, 14%, and less often, 36%. All right. But you can understand that when you have a look at the platform, right? It's not like Facebook. It's not where you have this total feed. It's a different format. Instagram, 38% use it several times a day, 22% about once a day, and then 39% less often. Twitter is fading. I would say that Twitter is slowly but surely fading away. People are going more to YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. And then you see YouTube, people go to it 29% of them several times a day, 17% about once a day, and then 55% less often. And it says here, respondents who did not give an answer are not shown. Less often category includes users who visit these sites a few times a week, every few week or less often. So people, you have people that go daily, you have people that go about once a day, and then you have people less often, but then you have people also going weekly, which we understand. And, you know, Aaliyah, when I looked at these stats, it's quite mind-boggling because this is only in one country. This is not worldwide. Mm-hmm. I think if we had to take the stats worldwide, I think we'll blow our minds away at how many people are actually using social media. And you know, one of the things I really want to talk about, and there's just a few things that I have left on my heart that I wanted to share, is when we use social media, do we find ourselves in arguments? Do we find ourselves, especially, let me put it this way. Many of you listening to this broadcast, maybe you go to groups. You go on Facebook and you go into groups, you know, like messianic groups or groups where people sit together and they discuss the Bible. I don't know what kind of groups. Like we have a group on our WordPress, on our website. But I know that many people go on Facebook and they go into these groups. And I've noticed, because way back when we had Facebook as a ministry, I began to see how people argue their point. And people find it so much easier to argue a point behind a computer than it is to say something face to face with people. So they argue and they argue and they argue. And I see how characters just become oozed out. They just become revealed in the heat of the moment. And people have this tendency to have this need to be right. And they always have to be right. And I see, you know, with Facebook, the difference with it is that you cannot stop someone else from commenting on your thing unless you block them or unless you set your settings. But it's like you'll say something and you'll think that's the end of the conversation or the end of what you said, and you try to be nice back and say, hey, you know what, I'm sorry. And then boom, 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 you have 50,000 other people and their friends commenting on it, and there's this need to be right. And you know, I have to ask myself a question. Is this really the character of Messiah Yeshua that comes out in these groups at times? I beg to differ. And sometimes I came to realize that we see the flesh and the humanity and the real character of people coming out on social media. And we spoke about already the other one about it's a false worth. It's an illusion, because we start to see how people have this tendency to need to be appreciated, how we need to feel to be appreciated. And not only that, I've also come to notice on YouTube, and whether it be, you know, believers or unbelievers, I start to see how people begin to brag in their videos. Mm-hmm. They begin to brag about their likes. They begin to brag about how many followers they got. They begin to brag about the things that Yahweh did. And you know, I have a problem with this, Aaliyah, because, you know, being you and I being in ministry for a couple of years, you know, we have different kinds of gifts and we go to different kinds of places. And one of those things that we do a lot on ministry and when we go places is to pray for people. And I have a big thing about, you know, recording the times of prayer, because that's a personal time between those people and the Father. And I've begun to see how people take videos of the prayer times or when they pray for people and they post it up on their YouTube channel. And I've got no problem with this if it's truly done in the right spirit to glorify Yahweh. But many times what happens is it gets posted and sometimes the people that we prayed for don't even know that this person has actually uploaded this stuff on the YouTube channel. And then it becomes like, wow, you know, we went to such and such a place and 5,000 people, I'm not saying 5,000 or whatever, 300, 200, whatever, got saved. And wow, and they make it under the disguise or the cloak of, you know, to Yahweh be all the glory. But the glory is not actually going to Yahweh.
You know, this is so popular these days. There is a term for this. Eh? It's called humble bragging.
Wow. Is there such a thing?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like the new word, like slay. Humble bragging is a reality. You can Google it. People are, it is such a popular thing that people do that they'll say, like, don't be a humble bragger, because you're actually going, oh my goodness, I don't know how this happened, but God just saved 3,000 people through my life. For example, that's called a humble bragger, because you're not actually humble. You're actually just bragging.
That's crazy. I've never even heard that before. But I've seen, we spoke about it, I've seen pictures of people doing this, okay, having selfie sticks when people come forward for prayer and standing in the front and having 30 or 40 people behind them coming forward for prayer for serious things. And all of a sudden, the guy turns around and he's got a selfie stick and he takes the photo and boom, it's on Instagram. Wow, look how many people came forward for prayer. I mean, this is not right, brothers and sisters. This is not right. Bragging about the likes and the videos. And that's what social media has done. It has caused us to brag and to boast about what we do. And the truth of the matter is, strip all that stuff away from people. Strip all the followers away. Wow. Strip all their followers and their likes. And then you look at the person and you ask yourself, what actually is there? What character has this person got? Do they even really have friends in real life?
You know, I think that if that had to happen, if social media had to be like broken and destroyed, I think that a lot of people would be broken and destroyed, because I think that you would, I actually don't know what would happen to the world if we did this today. It reminds you of that movie you made me watch at one time, Wall-E. I don't know. Have you seen Wall-E? Have you guys seen Wall-E? It's an animated film. And Yosef was trying to get me to watch Wall-E for like a long time. And I just knew there was a part where Wally got sore. And I don't like to watch anything getting sore in movies. So eventually he got me to watch it and was really cute. You should really watch it. But Yosef, this is the generation that we are breeding. Because in Wally, you know, he's a robot and everything, but the human beings live in this space capsule thing in outer space somewhere. And you know that all they're doing is sitting, talking to each other via what I would consider a social media Skype type thing, where that's how they communicate. But they're sitting right next to each other. And then those two, Wally bumps into this guy and this girl that don't know each other, but they're really fat and they're like little babies, because no one walks around. Everything's given to them. You know, it's this technological way of communicating. And Wally bumps into them and they happen to bump into each other, and suddenly they touch each other and they're like, it's like something that they've never experienced before, just to touch someone else's hand. And I really feel that Wally was showing us in a psychological and a mental and emotional way what we're actually becoming, because we don't want to hug, we don't want to be social with people anymore, we don't trust anybody, we would prefer just to be. And I know, Yosef, personally, people that have got hurt in congregations, messianic congregations, and they decide they're no longer going to fellowship in a physical place, and they get online and they just have these Facebook friends or these groups. And I want to tell you 100%, and I'm being dead serious with the people listening, because I know people that have done that. 100% of those people that I know that have done that are now on medication for depression because they've cut themselves off from the physical reality of their lives because believers are bad and because people hurt me and don't deal with the wound. And then I go onto social media and my depression that I first had because of the hurt has now amplified because I don't have support, I don't have connection, and I don't have a place of belonging.
You know, yeah, we're going to get to that some more. I think we need to unpack some more of what just said. But you know, another thing is that we start to have no litmus test because just as we begin to share things on our WhatsApp or we begin to share things on our social media, you know, the truth of the matter is that most people just share things that they've seen that they think is good. And a lot of times people share things on social media that's actually false news or it's fake news, as we call it. Or they haven't actually really listened to that hour and a half teaching in its entirety, but someone else posted it and they thought it was good, so they posted it. Meantime, when you actually go and listen to the teaching, you actually start to realize, wait a minute, this might be off. And the truth of the matter is, because social media is geared that way, it's easy just to like, comment, and share. Like, comment, and share, and just post things. But the truth of the matter is that most people don't really even look at things continually. You see your feed, and you see what's good in your feed, and you kind of go through your feed. But how many of us really actually look and do a test, a biblical test, based on what has been posted, and say, hey, you know what, this is actually the word of Yahweh. This is in season. This is something that I should share. This is something that's going to bring edification to the body. Or instead, we just think something's good and take this one, and we just start to put it out. So we need to say to ourselves, look, with regards to what gets shared and what doesn't when it comes to biblical teachings, is it what the Father wants us to share? Is it going to build up the body? Another thing that I found with social media is that it starts to breed a false image within us. We begin to see ourselves in a different way than what we are supposed to be seeing ourselves. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, I was thinking about the passage of Scripture where it talks about, you know, that we are to conform to the image of Messiah Yeshua, but also where it says that we become that which we behold. In other words, when we behold Messiah Yeshua, when we see him and when we desire him like Moshe desired to see him face to face, and when he was up on the mountain and he came down, his face shone with the glory of Yahweh because that image was in front of him. So it's like, I think James also says that we see a reflection, or we see ourselves in a mirror. So the truth of the matter is that, think of it like this, the more time that you spend in the Word, as the Bible says, by the washing of the Word, we become conformed to Yeshua's image. By spending time in prayer, we get filled with the Spirit and we become more like Him. So the more that we spend time looking into our phone, and not only into our phone, but all the different apps that we have on our phone, eventually we are going to become like what? We are going to start to behold the glory of another image. We're going to start to behold the glory of that image. And all that stuff that we're looking at is what we're looking at. We're beholding that thing continually in our face, and we're going to eventually start to look and be and become like that. So our frame of reference is no longer the glory of Yahweh, but it's the glory of the world. It's the glory of the things of the world. And we get consumed by the things of the world because, like I said, we're faced with things that we never normally cared for years ago. And now all of a sudden, we're worried about news. We're worried about updates. We're worried about likes and profile settings and changes. And is my photo good enough? Am I taking enough? Did I update today? Did I post something so that everybody can know I'm still alive?
Yeah, the struggle is real.
The struggle is real.
People come on there and they're like, I'm so sorry to my followers. I haven't posted anything today. And then you're like, okay, well, I wasn't really sitting on my phone today waiting for you to post on you, but if you think that you're so important that you need to offer an apology, then it's okay. But that's, like you're saying, it's because there's a false image, or that person feels that their followers are actually waiting for them, but their followers are actually not, because can I say something, if that person died and disappeared off Instagram or Facebook or whatever, your followers would just be following someone else. They don't care that much about you.
That's right.
So, but in your mind, they really care about you. You have to post every day. And it's kind of like back in the day, you know, reality TV. It's still a big thing, but when it hit, it was like a huge thing. And what I actually read about from a production team that is involved with making reality TV movies and shows and whatever, is that they said that there comes a point in, say you, it's a family, that's the reality show, and you film in a family and stuff. There comes a point where people's lives actually aren't that interesting. Mm. You know what I mean? This is not a movie. So what happens is the family often will decide, okay, we're going to take our kids to the zoo, or we're going to go on a yacht cruise, or they find things to do to make the show interesting. The family themselves decide, or we're going to go to the movies or whatever, because their lives aren't interesting. I mean, you know, it's life, you know what I mean? Go to work, come home, but we're going to do things to kind of liven it up a bit. And we're going to get our friends come around. That's a bit argumentative, so we can have a fight. This is what's happening now, not on reality TV, but on our
social
feeds.
Social media, that's right.
Because we've got to be like, oh man, I've got to do something. Okay, we're going to go on a yacht cruise. We're going to book this yacht cruise. We're going to go and we're going to film the whole thing.
Meantime, you're just parking off in the harbor.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Oh, goodness. That's so funny. But yeah, you've hired some old boat. They can't even go. They can't even float. This is what people are doing, though, Yusuf, like creating a unreal world. And then what happens? They put it through Lightroom, which is a great app, and put it through Photoshop so it looks stunning. But guess what? The truth of the matter is other people look at that and start to compare themselves to that, start to get envious, start to get down, and start looking at their husband who doesn't look as good as her husband does, or their kids who aren't as well behaved. But you know what? You're just seeing highlight reels. You are just seeing the credits. You are not seeing the film.
Amen.
That's not people's lives.
You're only seeing the best of what they want you to see. You're only seeing the good. You're not seeing the bad. And Aaliyah, you touched on something. We begin to compare ourselves to what we see. And everybody is trying to outdo everybody else. And you know, it's not only from unbelievers.
No.
Look at the churches out there today. Look at churches that are prevalent on social media, and you'll begin to see how they begin to try to outdo one another on social media. Because we strive to be better and to keep up with all that is new, all that is hip, all that is cool. And like I said, we begin to stare into the face of our computers. We begin to stare into the face of social media, and we're no longer staring into the face of the great I Am. And His image is starting to be marred. His image is starting to be removed from us because we're not truly spending time in the presence of Yahweh. We think that by spending time in a group that is godly, or in a group that's speaking about the Torah, that we're actually getting the image of Yeshua. No, we're not. We're getting man's opinions of that image. Based on what we are doing in that place.
I've often thought about this, and I want to put that out there for you to think about in your own personal life, because I think about this, like I've thought about this. If Yahweh said to you today, I no longer want you to have, say, for example, Facebook, or I no longer want you to have Instagram, I want you to delete your profile, and I want you to delete your app, and I want you to cleanse your phone, and I want you to completely cleanse your phone from this. How would that make you feel?
I think a couple of people go crazy.
You know what? Research is showing us, Yusuf, that the withdrawal symptoms that people are having when they go off social media is crazy. Like people are having, the other night we were watching a movie where the guy was having DTs. That's detoxing from alcohol, and was like really severe. And I was still like, Yusuf, is this true? Do people really, really have this, you know, from going off alcohol so bad? And he said, yes. But I'm getting to read stories, and I'm not going to share them with you, but I'm reading stories of people that go book themselves into clinics and have to hand over their cell phone. That's what they're doing. They are withdrawing from technology and from social media. And what happens to these people? I read some stuff that is mind-blowing, that the shakes that they get, the craziness, it's a withdrawal that happens to you, the fear, the anxiety, the pain, the emotional wounds, everything that's happening because you're no longer feeling relevant, the self-worth issues you have, the depression you're now facing, you now feel like you're just undergoing the most crazy effects that psychological tests are measuring and can see that this is what's happening. And it's just mind-blowing.
You know, I think, like you said, mind blowing. I think a lot of people will freak out. I really, really do. You know, you were saying something earlier on. What happens if one day we no longer have the internet? Mm. What's going to happen one day if a country like the United States, and I'm not being a conspiracy theorist here, I'm just talking general, right? Let's say another country decides one day to hit that country with an EMP, right? An EMP is an electromagnetic pulse that goes right through the entire place that will take out the entire power grid for it could be months, could be years. And people will not have internet. You know, the truth of the matter is, let's be honest, you know, like we said, there's good to it and there's bad to it. And the truth of the matter is, because we have made people into slaves, honestly, slaves to social media, that's what they become. One day, it works like that. Give the slave what they want for a certain amount of time. And then eventually, when you want to bring control and you want to bring power over people, remove that from them. And what will you have? You'll have chaos. And I believe, Aaliyah, I really do believe that there is going to come a time where people will no longer have social media, where because of all the wars, because of all the things happening in the world, there will be, all that has to happen is take out a couple of power grids and people won't have the internet. Take out a couple of cell phone towers and people won't have the internet. And people literally will become like zombies. They will honestly become like people that are crazed because they will not be able to communicate with one another in the way that they need to. So we need to be balanced.
We have to be balanced. You know, the biggest thing that I wanted to end off with this evening was also, the Bible speaks very much about desiring other people's things and how it is one of like the churches, the Ten Commandments. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, belongings, yacht. You know that yacht that's not even floating, that looks so good that they put through Lightroom. Don't believe them. It's not a real boat, okay? Do not covet their boat, their holiday house, their Club Med holidays, their Zanzibar trips. Don't covet and envy.
Even the joy in the Torah. Even you know, sometimes you see these videos of people and they're doing all these things and you think to yourself like, wow, why can't I be doing those things?
Why did I get left behind? Yeah, that guy's like on his seventh missionary trip in like the 6 months.
Yes,
and it is actually true though.
It's true.
Because let's be honest, let's face it. Come on, we're real, we're human beings.
That's right, we're straight talking.
Sometimes you know that Yahweh has given you a desire in your heart to do a certain thing and then other people are doing similar, but it's not actually what you call to do, but it's still very similar. And you can look at that and you can feel like you've been left behind.
That's right. You can feel like, man, they're a success and you're not a success.
Yeah.
And then you base your feelings inside by the amount of likes that person got in their video or the amount of subscribers.
No, I'm not referring to that. I'm not even going to go that far because that's comparing. I'm just talking about from a normal perspective, a normal feeling of like sitting and going like seeing a beautiful picture from a missionary trip, for example, and going, wow, I really would love to help those people. But it's not about the likes and it's not about the followers or whatever, because you're not coveting what they have, but you're just feeling sad because maybe that's something you want to do. And that's a very normal human being feeling, because we used to see it back in the day when we saw, I mean, I'm just talking about as people, when people didn't have social media and they used to look through photo albums, you know, wow, that looked really cool. And you think like, oh, wow, I would have loved to have done that. Or, oh, you guys have been diving on the Great Barrier Reef because you're looking through a photo album. Wow. And you sit and you think to yourself like, I would have loved to have done that, but I probably will never get to do that. And sometimes that's the hard thing about social media. But we can also then step back and say, you know what, now he has a plan and it will unfold in his time. And maybe I'm not supposed to be doing exactly that thing that person is doing. Just as long as it doesn't lead us to coveting or doesn't lead us to being envious or jealous, which is also a very natural fleshly thing. But it's the thing that Yahweh's word says we mustn't feel. We mustn't feel like we want other people's stuff and that we want to be where they are or what they're doing. But on the other hand, Yosef, you know what? A lot of people that we know today, we've met through the ministry. And we've met, maybe it be via the website, maybe it be via YouTube. And we appreciate those people. And so I feel that like you said earlier on, there is a good thing to this. There is a good side to social media. It's just about what you said. It's about being really balanced and about knowing that maybe, you know, before you're spending your first hour of the day on Facebook, that you could rather spend it with Yahweh and start your day off like that instead of starting it off with the news or the weather or Facebook or whatever.
Or the jingle of your cell phone turning on.
Well, without the alarm going on. You know, and so I do really appreciate and value the people that I've been able to connect with and meet that have been good. You know, sometimes people want to meet you from social media that are actually just looking to build their own platform, not so, and then they're like, hey, come on over here, but just because they're wanting to get something from you or whatever. But the good people that you meet in your life, that is the blessing. So for me, I just want to say be balanced. May Yahweh forgive us for what we've done that we shouldn't do. May we live that repentant lifestyle. If we've looked at someone else that's actually a really wonderful person that really loves Yeshua, and we've compared ourselves and thought like, oh, they have it all together, because they probably don't, and they're probably not a bad person, but because human beings, this is what social media is doing. And I want to tell you that that was why the man invented social media, so that we would compare ourselves. You know that movie? There was a movie that came out long ago. It was a stupid, dodgy movie. And I'm not saying that it was a good movie. It was called The Joneses, I think. I don't know. I just saw some of the trailer or whatever. I can't really remember much of the film. But it was all about, I read that the crux of that film was all about them showing you what's actually happening in our world. So they plant families like in urban settlements or cities or whatever, and they have things that other people don't have, and they look very happy having those things. So other people try and get that, and that's what social media has done.
Yeah, and that's what advertising agencies do. You know, they're doing the same thing, and social media is bought into that whole advertising vibe, and they use life, real life people. Today they're using YouTube stars to promote their things. You know, you see it with, for example, you see it with Apple. Apple no longer gives their devices anymore to people like reps or stores to do their advertising. They're actually giving their devices to YouTube stars because they have way more subscribers that they reach. So they give their free devices to them to actually test and to do reviews on, because they're actually reaching more people. And that's how they're using social media to their own benefit.
Which so in is, other words, get a lot of followers and get free stuff.
That's right. But you know, Leah, a last thing I wanted to say is that we must not lose interest in the gathered assembly. We must not cause ourselves to become people who are only on social media. You know, throughout the writings of Rav Shul and the apostles, they continually spoke about, do not neglect the gathering together. Do not neglect the face-to-face meetings, like I read to you right in the very beginning. I'm going to read it to you again. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face-to-face so that our joy might be complete. Even though we are scattered, even though maybe you don't have a place to go, we must still continue to desire that gathering together, because it is in the body. And this is what we were trying to say in the beginning. Paul, he says it to us in Ephesians, that it is through the body that Messiah Yeshua's manifest presence is going to be revealed. And when we are so scattered, the truth of the matter is that over social media, you cannot have that same experience that you have as a body of believers gathering together. And we've seen that. You know, we cannot do the same things that we do when we are in a meeting with other people and praying and spending time worshiping that we can when it's on a YouTube channel or even on this coffee break. You know, you're limited to certain things that you do. And that's why we need to have the community together. And social media should be, like you said, a branch of how we get people into the gathering, or how we get people into the body so that they can be built up. And you know, the truth of the matter is that, like I said, the power of Yahweh cannot be experienced the same as face to face as it is experienced in a live stream. You know, when we live streaming with things, it's all about what we're doing, the teaching and stuff. It's not actually necessarily always about the presence of the Father as it is in a gathering. And we need to be happy are not happy to just settle with a live stream. We mustn't be happy with just settling with a coffee break or with a Skype interview or something like that. We mustn't be happy with that. We must desire the gathering together again and look forward to the day that Yahweh will bring us together as a body so that we can speak words of encouragement to one another, so that we can face-to-face fellowship. And that's my prayer, that one day, by the grace of Yahweh, I don't know how, but that we will all be able to be together, whether we go to America or whether some of the people come to us, I don't know. But I pray that one day as believers, that it won't just be one day when we get into, you know, into the kingdom, but that we'll have that opportunity now.
It's okay, because when we're in the kingdom and other people aren't in the kingdom and they in hell or whatever, we just can take a few photos and hashtag millennial reign and be like, hanging so cool up here.
Put it on kingdom Instagram.
The do kingdom
Insta
now.
King. Insta King Graham.
There will not be social media in the millennial. I'm just convinced of that. So, you know what? It has been so good to have this conversation with you all, and we really pray that you have been, you know, enjoying it as much as we have been enjoying speaking about it.
This was a good conversation.
It is a good conversation. And just for all of us, we can just all go to Yeshua, just personally, hey?
Amen.
Yeshua, ask him that. Where's my heart at? This is not, if my heart is in a good place, let's celebrate it. If my heart is balanced regarding social media, if I'm totally being able to see your kingdom grow through what I've been doing and what I've been involved in, then that is also something to rejoice in. And that is also something to celebrate. But then for us, we need to also say, Father, if you said to me today that I shouldn't have these things anymore, would I withdraw from it and feel horrible, or would I still be able to live my life? You know, am I still okay? Am I still okay? Because if I'm not, maybe I've overstepped a boundary. Maybe the boundary needs to go back a bit. Father, work in me in this. Help me out here. And also, let's ask forgiveness for where we've compared ourselves or where we've seen people prosper on social media, and it's harmed us and it's been hurtful. So thank you so much to all of you for joining us in this conversation.
Amen.
And we want to obviously allow you to put your prayer requests down. So we're going to go to our final song. And Joseph, I am really looking forward to this. This is a song of a new album called Breakthrough. And it is an album that I'm really, really looking forward to. I'm looking forward to when it comes out in June, because I really, really like this guy singing. So tell us the name of the song and the guy.
It's called Crazy Love by Chris McClarney.
McClarney. So enjoy the song.
Scanny Clarney. And enjoy. For all of those of you in English, Afrikaans, English, that was Afrikaans.
So enjoy the song, put down your prayer request if you have any, and we will see you on the other side. We will pray together and end off this evening coffee break. Enjoy.
Let me listen to your melodies, the beauty falling from eternity. Pull me closer with your gravity, the weight of who you are, the weight of who you are. Let me wander in the mystery, and I will marvel at your majesty. Take me out beyond what I can see, the reaches of your love, the reaches of your love. no one that could tame it, this crazy love. Oh, what could separate us from your love, this crazy love.
Absolutely love that song, especially the end of that song, Yosef, where he just prays. It seems like a prayer to me almost, you know, like a declaration of what can heal all our diseases, what can break the addictions, and what can answer all our prayers. And it's his crazy love. And I know that this evening there are a number of prayer requests, and I just really pray this evening that the Father's amazing crazy love for us will just release us from the things that have burdened us, and also will just release our families, and will just minister into our lives, and just minister into such deep places. And so, Yosef, this evening, I would like to ask if you could pray for some of the requests, and that you could close off for us.
Let's do that. But before I pray, you know, Leah, I was sitting today and I was speaking to the Father about the times and the seasons that we find ourselves in. And I think sometimes we are so accustomed as believers to sometimes allow things to kind of go in and go out of our minds. And I'm not saying necessarily that it's always like this, but oftentimes we don't fully grasp the magnitude of what the Father's actually trying to do or say. Mm-hmm. And you know, this evening when I was listening to that song about the love of Messiah Yeshua, I've come to realize that we are living in a time now where we really need to understand that He wants us to be the sons and daughters. And the sons and daughters in that tabernacle, they dwelt in that place. They dwelt in the place called the Holy of Holies, the place where Yahweh's presence was. And I believe that Yahweh wants us to be so committed to Him. Those who are His true sons and daughters are going to be so committed to Him. And that's why I think this message this evening was not so much, hey, you know what, get off social media. But it was more a call from a loving Father saying, let us rid ourselves from every weight that hinders us. And last week we spoke about what is on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And either it's going to be the presence of the Father that's on your shoulders, or it's going to be the weight of this world. And I think as believers, sometimes we allow certain things due to social media or any other kind of things that are out there to kind of come upon us and to bring us down. And I think what the Father is trying to say to us is, rid ourselves from those things that can cause damage. Rid ourselves from those things that can separate you from me. Because it really is going to be a faithful few that will dwell in the inner Holy of Holies, that will have my presence. And if we are speaking about time frames and covenants in that way, then we know that, you know, now is the time that Yahweh has worked. He's worked through one group of people, He's worked through the second group, and now He's wanting to work through the third group. And I think that it's a loving Father that's speaking to us. It's not a rebuke. It's a loving Father saying to us, listen, I want your time because I want to work through you. I want to reveal my glory through you to a dying generation. And if you're going to be sitting in front of your computer doing all other kinds of things, I can't then move through your life. So we need to rid ourselves of that so that we can actually have His presence on our shoulders. Mm. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, Father, this evening, that you are the faithful Elohim, and Father, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, so often we look to our situations, we look to things that seem to be mountains, Father, but yet in an instance, Father, you can move those mountains out of the way. And Father, I want to thank you this evening that you are speaking to us. You've been speaking to us, Father, for months as a group. And Father, you've been really drawing us closer to your heart and closer to your will and what you want for your people for this generation. And Father, I want to pray this evening over our sister Sudi. And Father, we know the things that Michaela has gone through. And Father, it's been difficult. And I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you will also give Sudi, Father, great strength and spiritual understanding. I pray, Father, that she will continue, Father, to pray for this young girl, Father, and that she will pray for her daughter and pray for her. And Father, that the damage that she has gone through social media, Father, as she says, the bullying and the things that she has gone through, I pray, Father, that there will come healing. And Father, as we continue, as myself and Aaliyah also stand in the gap, Father, for her, we pray, Yahweh, that both Sudi and Michaela, Father, will be blessed, that they will be strong, Father, and Yahweh, that there will come a reconciliation, Father, but also healing from all the things that have happened, Father, and Yahweh, that there will be a change of this young lady's life. Father, I know, Yahweh, that you can do it. I know, Father, that you're in the business of changing lives for the good, and we pray for that, Father. We thank you, Father, that Sudi is praying for her, and Father, that's all it took. All it took, Father, in so many people's lives that we know that have been in the darkness, Father, was one mother, one father on their knees, one brother, one sister, one person out there, Father, that was praying. And that's all it takes, Father, and I pray for that. Father, we also want to pray this evening, Father, for Dries, and Father, we ask in the name of Yeshua, Father, that business, Father, will get sold according to your will. Father, I pray that people will come in there that are interested. We know, Father, that South Africa at this time, Father, is in a great economic difficulty, Father. So many things are getting higher and higher, and so many changes are taking place in this country, Father, that sometimes can be scary, Father. But we pray, Yahweh, that you have the right person. You know, Father, what you want to do, Father. You know, Father, what you want to do with Dries. You know, Father, what you want to do with that game lodge and how you want to do things in that place. So, Father, we pray that he, by your grace, Father, will be released from that business, Father, so that he can pursue the things that are really in front of him, Father, with all that he has, Father. And that through that, Father, that they will bring glory and honor to you, that they will see, Father, that you are for them and not against them. And we thank you for that. Father, we thank you this evening for every person that has joined us. And we continue, Father, to pray for Ariella and Micah. We pray, Father, for their house, Yahweh, that they will get the right amount of money that they need, Father, that they won't have to keep on dropping, Father, but that they will come the right buyer, Father, so that they can be released, as they said, from this bondage, Father, and pursue, Father, the things that they need to do. Not only, Father, for going into a new country to be teachers, but, Father, to spread the gospel of Messiah Yeshua in a place, Father, that has not been into the gospel at all for a long time, Father. So we pray for them, and we ask, Father, that your will also unfold over their lives, Father. The new season, we pray, Father, that we believe is in front of them will unfold. And we thank you, Yahweh, that your timing is perfect. Even though now it looks like a great mountain, even though it looks, Father, like that house will not be sold, we know, Father, that when your time comes, things will happen, and we honor you for that. So, Father, we thank you for everyone that has joined us, and we ask, Father, may this week be a week of blessing over each and every person's life, but also a week of growth, and a week, Father, where we shed ourselves, even if it's twice a week this week, Father, where we decide, hey, you know what, we're going to fast from social media. We're going to fast from the things that pursue our time, Father, and we're going to spend time with you. So I pray for that, and I pray that there will be good reports, Father, of the great things that you do in us and through us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much to each and every single one of you for joining us this evening. And Yusuf just wants to say something.
I really feel this evening that this song that we're going to play out with Aaliyah is a song that I really think is going to speak to a lot of people. And I pray that the words of this song will be a prayer for Sudi and for her daughter. That the words of this song will really resonate, and that the words of this song will become true in her life.
And you know what's really on my heart this evening before we end off as well is that I believe that as a community, and I'm going to post about this in our prayer group that we have, not the prayer group, but the Bible reading group, where I know that many of us are praying for each other, that this has been really laid on my heart this evening, that as a community, we should do a 24-hour fast together. And I'm going to post about that, and that was laid on my heart this evening during prayer, that we need to fast together, and that we need to, because we've had 24-hour prayers sometimes where we each take a slot, but I'm going to post about it this evening, and we're going to take each a slot, and we're going to fast, and we're going to pray together, and we will as a community lift up one another's needs and lift up one another and just pray into the areas where we feel that we need to. And we would love for each and every one of you to join us. So if you're on our Bible reading group, that's where this is going to go down. That is where the core community lives, in my opinion. And so I'm going to post about that this evening. And I really believe that Yeshua is saying to us this evening that we need to do this together. And to fast and pray together for one another, and over a 24-hour period. And because it's really cool, because so many of us are in South Africa, so we're in a different time frame. So many of you are in the US, you're in a different time frame. So basically, it will be a 24-hour cycle. So I'm going to be posting about that this evening. May you be so blessed. Shavua Tov to all of you. We have so much love for you. Big hugs, loads of shalom. And we will see you next week. Well, we hopefully see you all next week. Be Amen. Good, stay strong, and may Yahweh continue to bless you. And shalom, shalom.
We're going to be playing out this evening by a song by Aaron Schust, and it's called You Redeem. I hope you enjoy it.
Presence lost in your love. Miracles will happen.